Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We've been talking today about the new U.S. tariffs imposed today on $16 billion worth of Chinese goods and materials coming into this country, and China's counterpunch, leveling $16 billion in tariffs on U.S. goods going the other way. There are also talks this week between the two countries, which aren't expected to go anywhere. Against this backdrop, businesses from Huffy Bikes to Halliburton have been packing a hearing at the U.S. International Trade Commission. So many wanting to testify, the hearing was extended from 3 to 6 days. A minority of the U.S. business leaders are in favor of what are essentially taxes to slow down goods and materials coming in from China. Michael Korchmar is all for these tariffs. He owns a leather specialty company. He's expected to testify tomorrow that the Chinese have cost his business 500 U.S. manufacturing jobs. But most are saying they're being hurt by tariffs or worried they will be if the president makes good on a promise to impose yet another round of tariffs worth another $200 billion. Steve Lang is in that camp. He's owner of the nationwide bridal company Mon Cheri, which sells not just wedding gowns, but prom dresses and quinceanera dresses for Hispanic girls celebrating their 15th birthdays. He spoke this week as president of the American Bridal and Prom Industry Association, or ABPAI. And Steve, you spoke to this government panel on Monday. Again, tariffs haven't hit you yet, but you're afraid they're going to.
My concern is that I don't think the Chinese are going to back down very easily. And I think with Mr. Trump's personality, he may just carte blanche say that everything's coming in needs to be subject to an additional border tax. Look, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, but I don't agree with his philosophies. You can't be a bully all the time. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't.
Well, as you know, President Trump says the tariffs are negotiating tactics. It's to compel China to lower trade barriers, to stop the theft of intellectual property, open markets to businesses. And he has said he's going to hold firm. What is your thought about that, that ultimately down the road this might be better for you?
I can't see how it would be better for me if the moves of putting tariffs in put myself, my own company, and many of my peers out of business. It may be too little too late. I don't think Mr. Trump understands how to negotiate with the Asian population. The worst thing you can do is make them lose face. Their chairman is in a situation where this is a tit-for-tat type of situation and personalities are involved. I don't think that's Mr. Trump's long suit. And I fear that personal aggression is going to take over and rule the day as opposed to logic.
Well, now, as a businessman who has worked with Asians, with the Chinese, sounds like for a long time, what did you say on Monday in your testimony?
I basically said that putting tariffs together, isolating the 360 million people in the United States, when the rest of the world is still going to do business with China, is not a formula for success. All it's going to do is raise our prices. And I do believe there's a big issue with intellectual property, and my organization has also been working on that for 5 years. But China's basic resource is labor. The two things they have in that country are rare earth minerals, which are needed for batteries, and labor. And if they owned all the oil in the world, would we stand back right now and raise prices on oil by 25% to teach them a lesson? No, we wouldn't. There would be a mutiny in this country. You need to really sit down and negotiate piece by piece and not put up a wall and basically, you know, dare them to scale it. They're doing business with the entire world, and they're being very effective at that. And the more they do business with other countries to backfill that hole where they need to keep growing 8% a year, the less important becomes the United States. They're in Africa. They're in South America. They're in Europe. They're building bridges. They're trying to turn their economy away from an export economy into a high technology economy, and I can't blame them for that.
Well, the president has said it's a negotiating tactic to lower prices, but his supporters are also hoping that it brings a lot of that business back here. And so what do you say to people who say, build factories here, make those dresses here?
I can't find labor to do the kind of work that I need done. I mean, some of our garments have 150,000 hand-sewn beads on them. There's nobody here that wants to do that work. And even if I could find people to do that work, my dresses would become 10 times the cost of what they are right now. It's always been the option, but nobody's taken up that charge because it isn't just a matter of cost. It's a matter of finding the laborers that want to do that kind of work.
Yeah.
I mean, even in China, there's a labor shortage actually in China right now. There are even people there that don't want to do that kind of work anymore because they have options. They can go work in banks. They can work in technology. We know eventually, long term, maybe in 25 years, this business is going to have to move to other low labor countries. It's the law of the jungle. That's the way it works.
Right.
We could not bring this back onshore right now.
And if we did, these wedding gowns, instead of costing a few thousand, would cost thousands. I mean, when you see the beading on them, it's just extraordinary.
Correct. The average price of a wedding gown has dropped precipitously over the last decade. The average retail price right now, the sweet spot's between $1,200 and $1,500, and that's the lion's share of the goods, maybe 90% of the sales. That dress wholesale would go up dramatically, probably by 50%, and therefore the consumer is going to be the one paying the bill.
Well, and you know, there are people saying that maybe we should be paying more for goods and not depending on the Chinese labor that has for years painstakingly sewn beads on, and that, you know, this may be something that Americans have taken for granted. And Steve, we just want to ask you the tone there, because we're hearing about the president of Bell Sports who pleaded that kids wouldn't wear helmets and would break open their skulls if they couldn't get the material to make the helmets from China. Somebody else talked about Americans would get sicker because healthcare equipment would cost more. What was the feeling there?
There were a lot of shell-shocked people there. The look on people's faces was quite dour. You know, it's very interesting, Robin, when you go there, and I've been going to Washington back and forth for 5 years and, you know, meeting with senators and so forth. The people in the audience sitting there, looking up at the dais of these eight people that are up there who have the ability to make life or death decisions in terms of the businesses we're talking about, people were nervous. They're scared. They don't know how to react. It was a little disenfranchising because the fear turned into, how do I say it, a little bit of boot kissing. Like, everyone was very careful about what they said, not to offend anybody. I'm not that way. Of the morning when I testified, I was the eighth of eight people to go, and everybody read their prepared statements, which we had submitted before, but I got through the first paragraph of mine and I just put it down. I said, look, I'm going to go off script here and just tell you from the heart what this means to my industry and my company. It's not like we have choices here to make these in the United States. Then we have to deal with China, and these tariffs aren't just an issue of negotiating, you know, different margins and so forth. It's a matter of life and death. I mean, we could not take a 25% increase and pass that along. The stores wouldn't accept it, and we'd have to raise the prices, and therefore all the counterfeiters we've been fighting for the last 5 years will look very valuable to consumers, and that's going to be a whole nother issue. Right now, there's $1 billion in counterfeiting going, $1 trillion in counterfeiting going on worldwide. Half of that hits the United States. So we're talking about $500 billion worth of counterfeiting that takes a bite out of the U.S. economy. That $500 billion is equal to if we put tariffs on everything. And we've, as the ABPIA, have successfully closed 2,500 counterfeit sites. We've won 8 federal lawsuits. We've taken 25 million counterfeit images off the internet. And we did that all by ourselves without any government help.
And you're saying now that if these tariffs hit, you're going to get the punch from the tariffs, but then also the counterfeiters are going to rise up because they're not involved in the tariff war.
Their value is going to look even better than it is right now. They're using our pictures to bait and switch customers, and they're saying, here's a dress that normally retails for $1,500. I can ship it to you directly from China for $400. And the real kick is that when they ship these in, they ship them in as gifts, so they pay no duties at all. I pay $3 or $4 million a year in duties now, before these tariffs going in. I pay more to the government in tariffs than I make in profit. These tariffs go in, it almost doesn't make sense to work so hard. And at 64 years old, I've built this company into a $100 million business over the last 28 years. I could lose everything.
Steve Lang, president of the American Bridal and Prom Industry. Steve, thank you for speaking with us, and best to you.
Thank you very much. Bye, Robin.
Again, he says he's 64. He's built a $100 million business, and he's afraid he's going to lose everything. Your thoughts on the escalating tariff wars are welcome. Here and now.org.